Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast. It's me, your friendly casual comics guy, Joe. And today I am joined by my good buddy, Mark. Hey, Mark.
Greetings. Hello, humans.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you feeling today, buddy?
Good.
Feeling really intense? Good.
Feeling it. Stop. What are you staring at me for with those big eyes?
Oh, hey, everybody. So we're here to talk today about Marvel's multiverse with the pending Doctor Strange into the, I think it's Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Doctor Strange into the Multiverse of Madness. This is the level
in the Multiverse of Madness. I think it's Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
In the Multiverse of Madness. With the movie pending in a few weeks, we wanted to fill everybody in on what we know about Marvel's multiverse from both the films and the comics, chat about maybe what we expect, and just, I don't know, generally relive our days of reading comic books related to the Marvel multiverse and then see how those shake out into the rest of the Marvel ends. So excited for it. Are you pumped, Mark?
I am so excited for this, Joe. I really appreciate you uncovering, I wouldn't even say hidden gems. They were just rediscovered gems. How about that?
Right. So we are going to the one Marvel multiverse piece. And it's hard to explain until we get into it, but we're going to talk about the House of M, which was a big Marvel event that takes place in one of the alternate Marvel universes. We'll recap that comic series and then talk about threads from that that we expect may play into Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. But first, we will rewind and talk a little bit about the latest Doctor Strange trailer. Last one hit, Mark. So what are you seeing in the trailers and what rumors are you hearing that you're that have you intrigued at this point?
Yeah, I think for me, it's all across the board on how well the movie's going to be, but I'm always in Marvel. I trust we'll figure it out. The whole concept of the Illuminati, I think, is the most interesting thing to me, which we can talk about for a minute. But hearing Patrick Stewart, AKA Professor X's voice in there was certainly interesting. And then I believe you see a quick shot. This was in a previous trailer of Doctor Strange handcuffed. And you think they're like Tony Stark Doombot type, like Ultron things, like driving him around as like cops or something like that. So that's interesting. Is there an alternate universe there? And then, of course, and we'll talk about this later with the What If tie-in, you see and actually get an actual quote from a What If episode, which I think was episode 4 in What If, was the Doctor Strange one of things just got out of hand, which is a Doctor Strange variant, which is what you see a bunch of different versions there. And if you pause it really quickly, you see a third eye on one of the Doctor Strange heads or faces or foreheads, I guess. And that was, I think, in the latest trailer, if I'm not mistaken, or at least one of the recent trailers. Somebody did like a freeze frame by frame thing, and you're like, look, there's a third eye. What about you? What are you looking forward to?
I think it is that I'm trying to do my best to avoid spoilers, which you really can't. But also knowing that I've read all the comics, now I don't know how much can be a spoiler to me versus just a fun surprise.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited for that and excited for this multiverse thing to take off, because this seems to me to be the unlock for the Marvel Cinematic Universe to bring in a lot of things that they haven't in the past. So you brought up the Illuminati and Patrick Stewart, and people have been wondering forever, how are they going to bring mutants into the Marvel Universe? How could they tie the X-Men into this? How could they tie in other properties that maybe haven't been brought in? And I think you're starting to see the door crack open a little bit, and then this may be hopefully where the dam bursts. So I am just excited to see this movie in general, like say with the third eye and all that stuff. It's kind of like, I don't know how much of a spoiler it is, because it's kind of what I'm expecting, but I just am waiting for the release, the Kraken. Let's just see this bad boy so we can talk about it. But we're going to take a quick break, and what we're going to be talking about today is we'll talk about the What If TV series, you know, sort of how that introduces the concept of the multiverse. Talk about just what the heck does the multiverse mean? What are some of the major alternate universes in the Marvel universe? And then, like I said, we'll talk about House of M, which was a huge series based around one of these alternate timelines. And then what we're excited for. So that's what we've got on tap today. Mark, we will take a quick break. And when we get back, we will start in on our discuss of the Multiverse of Madness.
By the hoary hosts of Hoggoth, you're listening to the Casual Comics Cast.
All right, Marvel's Multiverse of Madness. We're here today to discuss what the heck is going on. And before we get into the future of it, thought it would be worth talking about some of how they've already introduced the multiverse so far. So, Mark, you were chatting with me earlier about some of what's been going on in the TV series and in the movies to date. So I'll start with, like, I think the first tee up that I recall is the first Doctor Strange movie, actually, where he is warned against using the Eye of Agamotto, which is then the Time Stone, to change time, because he's warned in whatever book it is that he's reading about multiverses. And now they've repeated the line a couple times. I'm going to see if I can find it and throw it in, which is the multiverse is something that we have dangerously little knowledge of. So it's just that line that planted the seed, which is what Marvel does. That's great. Is then that seed is germinating and growing into a bigger thing.
Yes. Yeah. I think that'd be good to look that up, but it was like temporal anomalies and some other phrase, but that's when they talk about it. And they talk about it in terms of different dimensions when he's getting trained by the Ancient One. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of first introduced this idea. There's all these other dimensions and realms. So I like how they kind of tee it up that way first. And it got me thinking in the Marvel Universe, what other movies do they really kind of mention it? And then the two things that I can recall, Joe, were in Avengers Endgame, when they go back in time, mm-hmm. and Bruce Banner or Hulk talks to the Ancient One, and they're talking about, like, there's one main timeline, and if you take the time stone or a stone out, it causes a branch. So they start talking about it then.
Right. I recall that now. And you have to put it back in exactly to stop the branch from happening.
Right. Right. So if you're interested, there's a lot of parallels with the Loki series. It just got me thinking of that. And then other than Doctor Strange, like you mentioned, it was really the quantum realm and mm-hmm. Ant-Man. So they talk about the quantum realm too. But other than that, I think they do a good job of not really talking about it other than where they felt it, they could kind of mesh it in there. But yeah, I really liked how they started with it. And then the Loki series really got, it was the whole point of the whole series, which I enjoyed, around the time variance authority and there being one sacred timeline, which again, the visuals are very close to that Endgame sequence where they're talking about there's really one timeline to rule them all, but there are other timelines that exist and there's Loki variants. And so it grounds you, at least so your brain doesn't explode, in terms of it just talks about the different Loki variants. And that's kind of the whole Loki TV series.
Yeah. And you've got me thinking about that, because that's why the TVA exists, right? Is the three-headed weird thing that they're sort of giving them the direction is to maintain the one sacred timeline and prune all the branches. But yet, yeah, all these Loki variants exist. How did they explain that? I forget, like, because you went to the cool alternate universe where it's like alligator Loki and the classic Loki.
Well, I think what it is if there's ever a branch timeline, or if there's ever another alternate timeline or alternate universe that gets out of its path in terms of where it's supposed to be, they go and prune that character,
right?
And then all the people that you saw that got pruned go to this other realm, which is like I think of the Land Before Time, like one of those animated shows, but it's like where there is time has no meaning, basically. And then there's like a monster there that actually just wipes out reality. And then you see the Thanos copter, which is a total random thing,
right?
But I love that. But I think that's how they explained it, Joe. Do you remember that now or not?
This is like a really terrible of us trying to educate people. We don't even remember how this happened.
I don't remember. I don't
think they didn't really explain it. Maybe it was cool to have alligator look.
Yeah. And Frog Thor.
Frog Thor. I can't bottle. I can't wait for Frog Thor to be a real thing. But yeah, he pops up in the little bottle down there.
Yeah.
That's
what it was. It was as if they had to go prune a timeline before it got like too dominating in its timeline, because there was only one power sacred timeline.
Right. Maybe that was it. Is that, like, if the timeline started to get too like where it was in danger of overwriting. Either way, yeah. The whole point of the Loki series is to just like introduce that fact that there's one sacred timeline and you got to prune it. You know, online people have gone and matched up the end of that to the end of WandaVision, where Wanda gets her powers as the Scarlet Witch. She comes into her full Scarlet Witch regalia and is now chaos magic, right? It's like, oh,
yes,
chaos magic.
Yep. And that's the moment where He Who Remains, or Kang, which the theory is he's a good Kang variant. Like, he's been keeping the sacred timeline, and that's been a good thing to do. Like, we don't know for sure, but that's what he claims. Like, I'm the good Kang, so right. You want me alive, but I'll let you decide, Loki variant, if you want this to maintain right. or not. And she kills him. Spoiler
which
alert.
Which then causes tons of timelines start branching.
Yes.
TVA yes. out of control. Loki comes back to an alternate TVA from the one that he left. So that's been like at the end of the Loki series, all of the timelines are spinning out of control. At the end of WandaVision, Wanda has like taken on, she's chaos magic now. And
she's reading the Darkhold book.
This is me overthinking, but think about Moon Knight episode one. What did we see? So, you know, the Arthur Harrow character who's got the scales of judgment, he takes Stephen Grant's hands to judge him, and the scales don't do what he expects. And he goes, there's chaos in you, right? And they've just established chaos magic as Wanda's main domain, which is causing problems. There's other stuff causing problems from the TVA. And then the end of Spider-Man No Way Home, everything's fracturing and Doctor Strange is trying to keep it all together. And Spider-Man No Way Home is where they really start going major multiverse. Yep. And they're saying like all of these other Spider-Men all existed in another dimension. And what you've done is you've weakened the barriers between this timeline and the other timelines so that characters can bleed through from the other timelines into this, which is the main timeline.
Yep.
And that's like the multiverse in its essence, is all of these other things can happen. They all maybe have happened at some point.
Or are happening.
At some point, the TVA's job is to prune them or do whatever to make sure. But now all of the walls have fallen down. All the chaos is taking over. And the multiverses are starting to bleed into each other, which I believe they did a pretty good job of setting up in Loki as Kang, He Who Remains, is what he's called in the series, being the Thanos of the next phase of Avengers, which is all of these things are bleeding together. And they've said the multiverse will... The reason he was keeping one timeline is because the multiverses would be at war with each other otherwise for which timeline was the supreme timeline. And all of the Kangs would be fighting each other and trying to prune all the other timelines.
Well, and he says that essentially at the last episode of there was a battle, because he is from the future, mm-hmm. which is aligned with the comics version of Kang. He's from like the 32nd century or something like that, 33rd century. And they did have a battle. And in his version, like the good Kang won and realized what I have to do is all this pruning, because the only way to prevent this multiversal war from happening is to have a universal timeline.
Right.
But the variant Loki was like, you destroyed my life by doing that, and so I'm going to kill you for it. So it's an interesting kind of moral high ground, I suppose, of like, was she right for doing that? And that's why he said, I'm going to let you decide. You know, what I wanted to go back to, which I think is interesting, because people are talking about essentially not so much a plot hole in Spider-Man No Way Home, but basically like, why would Doctor Strange cast that spell knowing that the dangers? And I think to what you were talking about, Joe, I don't think he realized how weakened the fabric of reality had become.
Right.
And so when he casts that spell, he's like, what's going on? I don't think he wouldn't have done that if what he knew was going to happen.
Right. Because I think
if the risk was high.
Yeah. All of these things are happening at least semi-concurrently. The thing in Spider-Man No Way Home, it seems like, I don't know, is it clear when Spider-Man No Way Home takes place where that is pegged versus the WandaVision timeline and versus the Loki timeline? I don't think it is. So as far as
we know, they're all in the same, like within a few weeks or months, I think.
As far as we know, they could all be happening at the same time.
Yep.
Like, because literally, it could be while he's doing that and casting that spell, here's S.H.I.E.L.D. over here trying to figure out what's going on with Wanda. And at the same time, here's Loki in the TVA. And those could all be happening right at the same time and converging to this key, like the stars have aligned in the completely wrong way to make the barriers easy to break down in a way that Strange couldn't have expected.
I think it is all the same, because if you think about it, he was in No Way Home, Doctor Strange, and then they show him meeting Wanda somewhere, which was right after WandaVision.
Right.
And obviously, Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness is probably going to take place immediately after No Way Home, or at least soon after.
Right.
And Loki's series probably happened. Well, we theorize it. Actually, we know that it happened around the same time as WandaVision. So I agree, there's a convergence of events here that they're talking about. But you're right, it's based on this premise of there's allegedly a sacred timeline. And it's like, is that the right way to go? Or should we let these multiversal timelines play out? And Kang wasn't allowing that to happen. He was pruning them at certain points in time, to your point. That's really kind of what happened with those Loki. He was pruning timelines at certain points, because what they were showing in the very beginning of Loki is that time was a circle. Remember, they were showing like that whole thing of like it's a circle around, and that the center of that circle was wherever they were staying, because the circle all over the place. So he was trying to bring order to chaos.
Right.
And that's what the good Kang allegedly was protecting everybody from, is this multiversal war. So maybe this is a kickoff or a finish, who knows, in this multiverse of madness of a war that's going to happen.
Could be. I think we're on the right track.
Yeah,
on the right track.
But I'm like you, I just want to be pleasantly surprised, and I know I will. I don't think there's any spoilers, and to go back to the trailer point, Marvel does a good job of editing like things out to where they're all head fakes. Like usually what they show is within the first 20 minutes of the movie, or they really don't try to reveal a lot, but right. There was a lot in there. And one of the big ones was, I think one of the wildest ones was that Tom Cruise playing Iron Man.
Yeah.
Or was it Kang, or was it Captain Marvel, and like that, like glowing character and stuff. I don't know. That's interesting.
We'll see.
I think they intentionally digitally edit these to make you think it's one thing and it really isn't.
Like when they changed what actually happened in the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer from the trailer to the movie, and you're like, oh, that thing in the trailer didn't actually happen.
I know. They love doing that, but that's okay.
All right. Well, let's take a quick breather. Let me get a quick drink of water here. And when we come back, let's talk about the capstone sort of the Marvel TV series. Even though it's not the last one, it's the one that most directly relates into this, which is Marvel's What If. Echo if.
Oh my stars and garters, you're listening to the Casual Comics Cast.
Well, thanks for hanging with us, folks, as we go down our own multiverse of madness with our own spinning of theories. Let's back off of the spinning of theories for a while and talk about what we actually know, which is the Marvel's What If series on Disney Plus, starring, is it Uatu, the Watcher.
Uatu? Uatu?
Whatever. Big bald dude.
Yep. The voice is played by the guy from Westworld.
The guy from Westworld? I think of him as the guy from Arrested Development.
Is he in Arrested Development?
Yeah.
Is he?
He's the head of the Bluth clan. Yeah.
He was also in Hunger Games, and he was Commissioner Gordon in the new latest Batman movie. Maybe. Are you thinking of somebody else?
Maybe I'm thinking of a different
guy.
Maybe.
Two different people.
Maybe I read the name wrong. You're probably right. I had a dyslexic moment on the name. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to know who you're talking about now. The head of the Bluth clan?
I'm a little... Who voiced the Watcher in the Marvel series? What's his name?
I'm going to look. Of the Watcher.
This is fascinating for listeners.
Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright. That's like a Jeffrey Tambor.
Oh my God.
so not the bald white dude.
No, the bald black dude.
All right, well, that's what I get for just stopping after the first name. What if Jeffrey Tambor voiced the Watcher? I'll see if Jeff can do like a Jeffrey Tambor impression.
You should, Jeffrey Tambor.
do the Watcher's narration of what?
Head of the Bluth clan. I'm like, yeah. What are you talking about?
There's always money in the banana stand, Michael.
That's right.
All right, back on track. Man. Back on track. Man, what if I thought about these things for a moment before we got on the podcast? But what if I wanted to talk about What If, because really the comic series What If is sort of what launched the fact that there is a multiverse to begin with. So let's talk about the TV series first. So the Watcher, big bald dude, outer space, and his job is he likes to watch.
I never interfere, except for this one time.
I think, you know, a good point, Joe, a good setup, though, to what you're saying, is Loki, in the release of these Marvel TV series, Loki was first, and then Marvel's What If came out, and Jeffrey Tambor, in this case, Jeffrey Wright, his intro is like these vast new realities. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are speculating like they really kind of didn't exist because they were all getting pruned. And at the end of the Loki series, they were all allowed to kind of go be.
Right.
And so those, a lot of those versions, those new realities are what they're showing in the Marvel What If series.
Right. TV series. And so it's the same conceit as the comic book. It goes back to everything on the timeline is the same until one key event or key moment changes, which then changes the course of the remainder of that timeline. And I believe the first What If comic book, What If number one, was just something like kind of innocuous and kind of fun. It was What If Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four, right? Not a life-altering thing, but fun for comic book readers in 1977 when it was published to be like, oh yeah, what if Spider-Man did join the Fantastic Four? That'd be kind of cool. What would that be like? But then quickly spun out to they examined some series that would be like, oh yeah, that like Spider-Man joining the Fantastic Four doesn't seem like it would radically change the future of a universe. So then they started going back to key touchstones, which is what they did more in the TV series. So the TV series really concentrated on whether it was like a universe altering change. What was the first episode of What If? I don't even remember what order they came out in.
I rank my top three. It's not in my top three, but I'm pretty sure the first one was What If Agent Carter were Captain America.
Right.
What if the super serum, basically.
Right. And there was like this key moment.
Or not Captain America, but what if she had the super soldier serum?
Right. A key moment. They're all there. This is normally where Steve Rogers gets the super soldier serum. Something happened. Peggy gets it instead. And Peggy becomes Captain Carter. There's no Captain America. And then it shows you how everything from that moment on would progress differently. And that's like the What If concept in a nutshell, which is then that is another universe at that point. That whole universe is different than the universe you know. Here's another What If. That's another universe that's different than what the universe is that you know versus the main timeline that the TVA has been maintaining. And therefore, since there's a multitude of universes, hey, multiverse.
And I think for the really detail-oriented people out there, what is aligned with the comics and the MCU is Earth, where a lot of this stuff takes place. The main, or it's now no longer the sacred timeline, but it's Earth 616.
Is that what they've declared the Marvel MCU to be? I think that's got to be a different thing, right?
Well, the... I'm pretty sure in one of the Captain Marvel movies, they talk about Earth and they actually mention Earth 616, I believe. But
let me quick research online. So we'll talk about the different universes. Let's hold this so we talk about all the different universes, because I'm going to go through some key ones for people to know as you get into the multiverse. But the what if each of those then, if there's a main timeline, the What If series crafts different ones. And It's a fun series for people who haven't watched it. There's like 9 episodes. The Watcher is simply there to observe and then report back, sort of like, okay, hey, comic book reader, I'm going to take you along. Or hey, watcher of the TV show, I'm going to narrate this and you're seeing what happened. So out of those episodes, Mark, because I thought they were fun to watch. There is an animated series, which some people can't wrap their brains around, but I can pretty easily. What were your top few episodes in that? Like that you're like, hey, if you haven't watched What If and you're interested in the concept of a key moment changing and the timeline being completely different after that, what's a couple of your favorites?
Yeah, I ranked top three. They're all pretty good, but but the three I would watch is episode 2, which is T'Challa became, what if T'Challa became Star-Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And a neat thing about that is Chadwick Boseman actually voices T'Challa. So if you,
that's my number one. That's by far my number one, because I just got chills.
Yeah.
Hearing Chadwick Boseman in the role of Black Panther. And it's an amazing capstone to his performances and to that character, because
it is.
I think that's what's cool. And I'm going to go deep into this one just for a second, which is what's actually cool about this one is it shows you that, like, yes, Star-Lord was Guardians of the Galaxy is a fun movie, no doubt. But it's like, what if there was a guy who was a little bit different who got kidnapped by Yondu, and just how differently then everything turns out, just because he's somebody who's stronger in himself, doesn't have all the self-doubt, wasn't really abandoned by his father, lose his mother, didn't have all of that tragedy. It's somebody who was like destined to be a king and just has this more regal presence and just a different personality of how he interacts with people, then changes like all the people who interact with him around him in a lot of fun ways.
Yep. I agree. I mean, it could easily be number one for me, but it was definitely
you get
top from, three.
What if T'Challa was taken and became Star-Lord instead, to that results in Thanos not even being a bad guy.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah. It's kind of that's what I like about these, because yes, they're animated and it's hard for people to wrap their head around, but if you like the Marvel MCU, then you should watch all of these episodes. I mean, they're really well done.
Right.
And this one, that one is probably the most well done one. Yeah. But it wasn't my top. It was my top three. Definitely.
All right. Give me the rest.
Number two for me was the zombie episode, and I don't like zombies.
Yeah.
But I loved it because, and we'll talk later about the top moments and all those, but it has some top moments of self-sacrifice and banding together. I found myself emotionally invested in that episode.
Yeah.
It was really well done. I liked it. So what do you like that one? Like, what was your number?
I did. I like Marvel Zombies, and we'll wind up talking about it, 'cause that's a universe you're going to have to know. I think there's also my list of what do you have, if you're sort of a completist and you want to follow what's going on. I don't think you're going to have to see what if T'Challa became Star-Lord. I do think you're going to have to see what if Marvel Zombies, because what I'm seeing in the trailers for the Doctor Strange movie makes me feel like zombies are going to be there, and this is going to be that universe. Like, if this is an alternate universe, it's part of the multiverse, it will probably wind up at least being a large reference point in the Doctor Strange movie.
Yep.
Yeah. But I read the Marvel Zombies comic series, which wasn't a what if. It was written by Robert Kirkman, who's known for writing The Walking Dead. He wrote that comic book forever, and Marvel's like, hey, do this. And that was kind of a cheeky, I don't know if you remember, like,
I did not like it. I'm not a big zombie fan, so I'm like, yeah.
It was like a tongue-in-cheek concept, in that I think that they just took it and made it as a joke, which was, when I was growing up, they called people who read all the Marvel comics, they like called them Marvel zombies. Like, oh, you're just a Marvel zombie, you only read Marvel comics, you don't read all these cool independent comics. And it was like a derogatory term from people who loved independent comics for Marvel fans, is calling Marvel zombies. And it made me feel like at some point, somebody was like, hey, this dude writes really good zombie comics, Marvel zombies, that's funny, write a comic about it.
Yep. And so for me, that's a good one.
It was much better done than the comic series, I thought, though.
Yeah,
what if,
yeah. Here. So that was episode five. So if you're wanting to catch up before Doctor Strange and you only want to catch two episodes, I would say that's one of them. And then definitely my top one was the what if Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands.
Yes.
That was my favorite episode. That was a true Greek tragedy, Joe. I liked it.
That was. And that's the one that, like, you know, a lot of Marvel stories end on a high note. That one ends on a low note. Yeah. That's another one. I think you are going to, if you want to fully get every reference and everything that's going on in Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness, you have to see that one, because they're already referencing the alternate Stephen Strange. It's not a spoiler unless you haven't seen the trailer, which is, they're like, Strange, it's the most dangerous thing in the universe is you. And the you
things
that they're referencing
just got out of hand.
And guess what? That dude looks just like the alternate Stephen Strange in the What If series, in the costume, What If
series. Yes.
And the makeup. So
yeah,
gotta see it. I thought,
because I thought there were like three or four more minutes in the episode, and I'm like, what?
I actually feel like,
and that's episode four, by the way.
I feel like the reason it ends that way is because it is going to also then just pick up it doesn't seem to have like a true ending other than we're going to see where this goes in the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. We're going to see where that character ends up.
Yeah. So what if I would recommend episode 4 and episode 5?
I think there's episode 9 episodes, if I remember.
But yeah. 4 and 5. 4 is Doctor Strange, 5 is zombies.
They're all great, good, though.
I would say if you want to see something that will like really illustrate the power of what you can do with a what if story, what if T'Challa became Star Wars or Star-Lord?
I agree.
If you want to see things that are definitely going to be referenced in the next Doctor Strange movie, it's the two you talked about. What if zombies? What if Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands? If you want to see the one that's just the most plain, dumb fun, is Thor. What if Thor was an only child?
That was so messed up. It was great, though.
Party Thor.
Yeah, Party Thor. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and that was what's great about all nine of those episodes. They're all very different.
Well, it's kind of funny. It's like, what if Thor was an only child? And it's like, because he wasn't antagonized by Loki his whole life, he never becomes this more goody-goody character that is like the opposite of Loki, who's mischievous. He's just like party dude from day one.
And it does, I can't remember what, so I think the final episode ties the characters together. So there is kind of a common thread with the Watcher thing, but If they bring in the Watcher, then you're probably going to want to watch episode 9 or the last episode. But if you got 50 minutes, I would recommend episode 4 and 5. But I'm with you, Joe. If you liked Black Panther at all, you have to watch episode 2. It gives you chills. It really is sad and heartbreaking, but amazing at the same time to see an animated version with Chadwick Boseman's voice.
And it's fun and it's funny, but where it gets like compelling to me is how it cuts to the core of that Black Panther character, that even in totally different circumstances, he is still this regal and noble character that is charismatic, that people want to follow because he's an amazing individual.
Yes, that's, you nailed it there. It's like he's still good for thieving,
right?
He's the, but he's charismatic, he's a natural leader, and people want to follow him and do good because of him and his leadership.
Unlike Peter Quill.
Unlike Peter, it's the opposite of, hey, don't call us plucky. We don't know what the word means.
No, really.
Don't know really. What does it mean?
What were your, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say those were my notable notes on the What If TV show, but this does spin out of the What If comic series, which ran for a long time. Were you a reader of the What If comics?
You know, it's funny you said that. I always wanted to, but other than one or two of them at a time, I never did. I never got into it, and I really don't know why. Maybe it's just because I didn't like, when I was growing up, the idea of there being different timelines, but I like time travel, so I don't know why. And the only one I remember reading was What If, the Hulk one. What if Bruce Banner had the mind of the brain of Bruce Banner, I think is the second one
right
in the series in 1977. But other than that, I never got into it.
At that point, it wasn't planting the seeds for a broader Marvel multiverse. It wasn't like they're like, we're showing you an alternate timeline. They didn't even talk about it being an alternate timeline. It was just a standalone story that was a goof usually. Yeah. Sometimes it was funny, sometimes it was serious. But it was just always a standalone meant to just be a story that people would find interesting. It would grab your attention, like, okay, I'm looking at the news rack or the newsstand where all the comics are, and what if Spider-Man did join the Fantastic Four? Now you've got me interested enough to get my 65 cents, right? I'll pop it down. And I think that was what if did well. But then it got popular enough, and then people liked those stories well enough that they started telling more stories. And like, oh, how do we explain that we're going to tell more stories with this setting? Oh, that's just an alternate universe, which now is the madness we're in with all these alternate universes. There were a couple.
Finish your thoughts.
I pulled out my collection of what I had, and I'm starting to fill in the gaps of their first series. And there's a lot of fun ones and interesting ones in there. One that you'll actually probably want to make sure you check out if you are a huge comic fan that wants to know what's coming. There is a what if Jane Foster had the power of Thor?
Yes.
Because that's coming in Love and Thunder, Jane Foster becoming Thor.
What one was that? Do you know?
I'd have to go back and look at which one that was. That's okay. I'll figure it out at some point. But they're all behind me in a box. I don't want to go back there and start digging through my box and figure it out. And then as I was doing some research into them, because I knew there were some goofier ones, and I hate to bring this up without having done my research. There's one that is, what if all the Fantastic Four had the same power? Like, because they all have four different powers. I'm like, I don't even find that interesting. Like, what if they all had the same power? why would you do that? And what I would like it to be is an anthology of four of them, of like one where they're all stretchy, one where they're all like, to show me each of them.
What if the Fantastic Four were bananas? Like, what the heck is that? That's a thrill thing.
There were a couple that were just straight supposed to be comedy, but they did start spinning them out. Some of them, like, what if the X-Men died on their first mission? And it was like, remember when we talked about giant-sized X-Men and how they seem to be really terrible at their job? Like, all right, let's immediately split up and not tell each other where we're going. And then they're like all like doing these. There is a what if that is like, what if that first mission they all actually died? And then that spun actually out into its own universe where they started telling more stories of, oh, well, if that new X-Men class died, other mutants would have had to step in. And so some of them did start spinning out into broader stories. You know,
did you have, flipping back to the what if TV series, I think you asked me to put down like two or three moments in all the series. Did you write down ones? Cause I have,
no,
other than what we mentioned, I mean, obviously the T'Challa, Chadwick Boseman thing.
Give me your top moments from the TV series.
So we talked about the Doctor Strange episode ending. That was top for me.
Yeah.
There was a self-sacrifice in the zombies episode, which I think is actually a little heartbreaking. Yeah. But the best one for me, and this is a spoiler alert, is Thanos dying at the hands of Vision.
Yeah.
Or an Ultron Vision. Remember, he just slices him in half.
Yeah. You're like, what? Ooh, how the
hell? Like, Thanos comes through the door and he's like, and he just kills him. You're like, wait a minute, he could have done that all along. Like, what happened?
Yeah, well, he had the power stones at the time, though, right?
I think so. He but anyway, that was just when you mentioned moment. That was the more memorable one over and above what we already talked about.
All right, so that's going to wrap up our discussion on What If. Again, highly recommend if you're a Marvel fan and you've been a little scared off by the. You know, being an animated series or a live action series, at least give the What If T'Challa Became Star-Lord one a shot and see if you can get into it, because it is an amazing performance by Chadwick Boseman. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk about some of the universes that exist that and, you know, the main universe. What are some of the other alternate universes that exist? And then we'll go into the comic series House of M. I feel like I need echoes this time.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. You want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to our discussion of the Marvel multiverses. We are going to now talk a little bit about some of the larger universes that you maybe see referenced, and then talk about a major Marvel, what do they call it? Was it a crossover event? It was just
a major event.
House of M. So when you think about it, we were talking about it earlier, the Marvel universes, Earth 616 has always been the main Marvel comic universe. Like, anytime, just keep it straight, 616. I don't know why it's called 616. There is actually, isn't there a Disney Plus series called Marvel 616 that is sort of some of the behind the scenes?
Could be. I don't know.
I think there's something in there. There's something on Disney Plus that's the 616.
It's more of, based on the research I did briefly, it's more of a fan designation for the comics than a professional one, is what they say.
Okay.
I don't know.
So 616 is what people will refer to as the Prime Universe. We were talking about the MCU universe. That actually has a different designation. Did you find that, Mark? It's Earth.
It's Earth 1999999.
A lot of nines in there. They're saving the 2 million for something else. I don't know. Is it?
It's Earth
19,999, not 200,000.
Yes. No, it's 199,999.
That's what I meant. What did I say?
Is a niner in there?
Is that a niner?
Yeah, that's the official designation for the MCU, Earth 199999.
Right. Some of the universes that are larger and more broadly expanded upon often are the Ultimate Universe, which is where Miles Morales comes from. Ultimate Universe, which is a whole different series. The Ultimates, instead of the Avengers, they're called the Ultimates. There's Ultimate X-Men. That came out of Marvel trying to really reboot a lot of their more popular series for new readers and ditching a lot of the old continuity. Maybe, you know, refreshing by making Miles Morales instead of Peter Parker for new readers. And it was meant to be an access point. And then that grew into its own universe to the point where it needed to be pruned too, which did happen. They pruned it. Out of the Ultimate Universe actually is where the Marvel Zombie Universe spins out of, which is Earth 2149, which in the Ultimate Fantastic Four, Reed Richards finds a portal to another dimension, which is where the zombie virus comes through. So they see this is where they branch. Got to prune them branches. It was interesting to me as I started thinking about it. The one that's not really seen is a Marvel MCU movie. One of my favorite Spider-Man movies. If I rank all my Spider-Man movies, it would easily be top three, if not top two, which was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. The Spider-Verse is a big deal in Marvel Comics to the point where there's a character named Madame Web who like sees all of the different strands of the Spider-Verse and all of the other spider universe characters that there could be. So if you think about just Marvel different universes that are related to Spider-Man, you've got Earth 982, which is where it's Peter and Mary Jane have a daughter named May Parker, and May is Spider-Girl. There's Earth 65, which is Spider-Gwen, where Gwen Stacy becomes Spider-Man, and that is referenced in Spider-Man Into Spider-Verse. Spider-Man Into Spider-Verse also has Earth 90214, Spider-Noir, the black and white Nick Cage Spider-Man. Buster, I give you a knuckle sandwich. And then Earth 982, Spider-Man 2099, which is a whole different one that is after the end credits in Spider-Man Into Spider-Verse with our good friend Moon Knight playing Spider-Man 2099. It's Oscar Isaac. I think
you're right.
Yeah. I always say these things confidently. And you're like, no, it's not. There's no money in the banana stand anymore, buddy. There's also a lot of alternate timelines around the X-Men. There's Days of Future Past, which then they made into a movie. Earth 811, Earth 295, Age of Apocalypse, also made into a movie. And then the one we're going to talk about is Earth 58163, House of M, which I picked because the what would you call it? The inciting incident for this is caused by the Scarlet Witch.
Yes.
So when this comic series came out, what about
2005.
Look at that. You did your research.
Nice. I did.
Thanks for saving my bacon, buddy.
I could be wrong. No, I'm just kidding. I'm it is 2005.
All right. And you read it. It seems like back then I knew of it and I knew what was going on. I didn't read the series until just now. So you read it back in the day.
I did.
You going to give us a quick recap on like, what is this universe I'm all about?
Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
Dormammu, come to bargain.
So I did read it when it first came out, and like you said, I actually still have those comics and reread them when you suggested that we talk about this, and I just forgot how fun it is, and how big of an event it was, and still is today in the Marvel comics. But the premise is there were events leading up, which are very similar to WandaVision. So this is the parallel. This is why it's an interesting series to read is she wants to have kids. She wants to have Vision. Well, I believe in the comics leading up to House of M, Vision dies. She doesn't have kids, but she basically goes bonkers and has a breakdown in the comics, similar to WandaVision. And she recreates a reality that Vision is alive and she has kids. And they keep having to suppress her with drugs and psychotherapy from Professor X to stop her from doing that. Because every time she does it, it messes up the actual reality because she's literally changing reality every time, bringing them back through her chaos magic. So that's really the premise of they've got to do something to stop her because she can just say stuff and then reality changes.
And there's a big incident right before House of M where she actually kills a bunch of Avengers.
She does. So she has an episode, and quite a few Avengers, including Hawkeye, like, are erased from existence. Like, they die. They say die, but they really, you know, nobody really dies in the Marvel universe. But she does. She just basically wipes them out. And they're like, we can't have this happen. Like, what do we do? And they have kind of a powwow at the beginning of House of M. And you have Professor X and Doctor Strange are really the ones that are like, we've tried everything and we can't find a way to fix her or solve her. And Doctor Strange is kind of like, yet. He's like, I haven't found it yet. Like,
he hasn't given up hope.
He hasn't given up hope. But Professor X is like, you know, we can't have this happen. Of course, Wolverine's like, we got to kill her, bub. And so they basically get together all the like former Avengers, ex-Avengers, you know, current Avengers, including Spider-Man. So all the popular characters. And they're talking about like, we got to get rid of her.
And at this point, it's interesting because Wanda's a mutant, right? But she's been a member of the Avengers forever. So the X-Men are like, nah, just ice her. The Avengers are like, whoa, hold on a second. They're like, but she killed a bunch of Avengers. Don't you care? And they're like, well, we care about that, but oh, hang on.
Right.
And then like, and they're Professor like, X out, is just like on a murder rampage.
And they're like, if it gets out that a mutant, because they're like, this is Avengers business. And I'm like, it is not Avengers business. Like, she is a mutant. And if it gets out that she killed Avengers, it's not going to be an X-Men or an Avenger killed Avengers. It's a mutant kills Avengers. It's going to set us back to the Stone Age. So the mutants have a really valid point. Like, we can't have this get out.
And you can't have it be a really good Scarlet Witch story without family drama.
That's right. It's Joe, so you like, know more than
let's
most.
Go talk to her dad. Her dad being Magneto.
Yeah, that's right.
And like, Magneto, I know she's your daughter and all, but should we just waste her?
But leading up to that, as you know, so the story is that Pietro, who is Wanda's sister, Quicksilver, Wanda is his sister. He tells his dad, Magneto, like that they're voting right now to kill her. And Quicksilver's like, we can't let that happen. And he's like, don't we?
I mean, Magneto is all like, maybe.
I think because, again, he's all about like, you know, she has the power to wipe me out of this thing. Like, I don't know if I want to do this. And so then they don't decide yet. I think is how they don't finally, like, we got to go talk to Magneto and get this figured out. So they head to Genosha and they're gone. And they're like, what's going on? Like, where is everybody? And then the world burns to white.
Wanda's gone.
And Wanda's gone.
Yeah, that was a weird picture. It looked kind of like genitalia. I'm not gonna lie.
It did. You at the end of the when it's starting to burn to white, that was probably intentional by the artist. The inker art is like, check this out. They'll never catch it. The comic book's code authority.
Sure. No 16-year-old boy will ever figure out that looks like.
That's true. And when they come to, when they fade out of white, I guess is what it would be called. You see a new reality, like a whole what if, like what you talked about. So like Peter Parker is married to Gwen and has a kid. Gwen Stacy is alive. Yeah. Like,
Gwen Stacy never died in this universe.
Yeah. Peter's a family guy. But he's also a superhero. People know who he is. And, hey, it's Spidey. And kind of, you know, and all these other characters have alternate realities. And there are no mutants.
Well, there are. Okay,
I'm sorry. They're in this reality.
Right.
Yeah.
It's called House of M, because the main difference in this universe and the other one is mutants have finally peacefully established being the dominant species on the planet.
Yes. Yes.
And Homo sapiens have just accepted the fact that we welcome our new mutant overlords.
Yes.
And Magneto's in charge of the world.
Yes. Everybody's Magneto's in charge of the world. And so then there's a Sapien town underground in Hell's Kitchen run by Luke Cage and Danny Rand and all those
Shang-Chi street level heroes,
non-mutant heroes that are have some level of superpower, apparently.
And it's like House of M because it's like Magneto's the ruler and it's like his royal court. There's this benevolent monarchy now that runs everything. Magneto's wildest dream come true.
Yes.
So immediately, they
all are unaware of this. Like, none of them know this is happening, but you know, obviously, as the reader, but all this is happening.
And then
there's a wrench, a fly in the ointment, Joe. Wolverine.
A fly in the ointment, bub.
His mind has been wiped and re-wiped and wiped again so many times. He wakes up and he's like, this isn't real. Like, what's going on? And what's great is he's basically the lead assassin for a modified version of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is basically the mutant version of S.H.I.E.L.D., which does world protection and stuff. And he realizes this is not right. Like, this is not our reality. At least he's pretty sure, because he's like, well, is this just me being messed up again? Or, like, what's going on here?
And him and Mystique are, like, hot and heavy in this universe.
That's
who's
right.
Hot,
that's
who's
right.
Heavy?
Who's hot? Who's hot? Who's heavy? Yeah. And then there's this other young girl that has the power to basically dispel Wanda's reality of the House of M.
The way I think of it is, in Dungeons and Dragons terms, she gives you another chance for a saving throw against illusion.
That's right. She does. She does. Plus five saving throw. And so
it's like when she activates her power, you can see all of your entire life before this event that changed what reality you live in.
But what's messed up is it doesn't overwrite what you already know in this alternate reality. It just adds to it. So now you have, like, I remember the other reality and I remember all my history of this reality, because that's what I find is so powerful about the spell. It's not just, it starts from this point in time. It's like you have a whole history. Like, you remember growing up, you remember your childhood, you remember everything. And now you have two childhoods to remember. And two, like, that's got to be pretty messed up.
And it's particularly devastating for Peter Parker.
Yes.
Because he remembers Gwen dying and
Uncle Ben dying. And he's Uncle alive Ben dying. In alternate reality.
And none of that happened. And now he's got a family. Yeah. He has a family. He's at least with Gwen. And he knows that it's fake. And if they want the world to be right, they have to undo it.
Yes. And that's what she did. She probably gave everybody what their deepest desires were.
And like, unfortunately,
their biggest pain points.
That's what caused Wolverine, right? Everybody got, and they explained it is that she tapped into Professor X's power to be able to psychically uncover what everybody's deepest desire was. And was able to fulfill that in this new universe. And unfortunately, Wolverine's desire was to remember all of his memories that he had no access, because he didn't remember his history ever.
Right.
And now he remembers all of the mind wipes and everything like that. And he's like, wait. And those two things are at conflict, that she gave him his greatest wish, and his greatest wish was to remember who he was.
Yes. So he goes around and with this young girl with the power and starts mind unwiping some of these people, and they get together and figure out.
And it's interesting.
Go ahead.
Because you quickly get to see a lot of people's different alternate realities. Like you said, Luke Cage is an underworld sort of got this group going.
Scott Summers.
Scott
is married to
Jean.
Emma,
right?
Frost.
No, is he with Jean or was he with Emma? I think he's with. I don't remember. Anyway, I don't remember. Because Wolverine's with.
Mystique.
I think Scott's with Jean, because then they undo Emma's mind. Or is that when she's with Scott? I don't know. I just read this.
That's okay.
Yesterday.
I know.
But,
sorry. But yeah, you get to.
Sadly enough, though, they show up and they're like, we should unmind wipe Captain America. He's an old guy now, because, like, whatever his desire was probably just to, you know, not be
Captain America.
Well, was to not be frozen. And kind of like you almost see in the Avengers Endgame, he's like, I just don't want to miss that chunk of my life. So when they, like, go to find him, he's now in his 90s.
And it's really, that's a really good nod to the, like, this is an 05. So it was a movie's nod to this. I'm like, oh, they actually did a nod, because they show you this old guy and he's looking at mail and it says Steve Rogers on it, Brooklyn. And you're like, oh, that's Captain America. And they actually say, we can't undo his mind. Like, that'd be cruel, because he doesn't even know he's Captain America.
Yeah. And what good does, and almost it was a little pragmatic too. What good does it do? He's not going to strap on a shield now and help us fight.
Right. Yeah. He's not going to help. That's what they needed. And then they all, but I agree, Joe, I thought it's really interesting. It's definitely worth the read, because you get a little sliver into each of these characters that they're unwiping. Like, what are they actually doing in this reality?
And immediately everybody's like, Magneto did this.
Yes, they all make the assumption that Magneto is behind all this. We got to find him.
We got to stop him.
And they're like, well, they don't have to find him. They're like, we know where he is. He's
right.
Oh, there's a
there's a gala. Let's all get invited to the gala. And so they have to form this whole thing, and they do it again, Joe. Three teams. I'm like, what are you doing? You already made that mistake.
I was like, if movies have taught me anything, you're overcomplicating it. All you need to do is dress up like the caterers. Right in through the side door.
Yes. Well, I have three teams. And they're like, Scott, why three teams? He's like,
that's how I do things.
There are three teams. I'm like,
that's how Scott Summers rolls, baby.
That's how he does it. I was like, they never really explained that. But
anyway. When Scott Summers came in, it was the first time it hit me. Whoever drew this comic draws big ass necks on everybody.
Yes. I was just going to say, that was the one criticism I have. And I don't even know who the artist is, so I apologize. But everybody looked like a 60s character, big necks.
Like
everybody, even Spider-Man. I'm like, that doesn't.
I'm like, where do you even find a shirt that fits? It's like your shoulders.
Everybody had that. Yeah, Scott Summers is a skinny guy.
You're like five feet across at the shoulders here, buddy.
I know.
His all neck.
Yeah. And they really, you know, of course, I'm a, as you with Wanda and Scarlet Witch and Vision, I'm a Spider-Man fan. I really like, they keep bringing up the pain he's in.
Right.
He's like, I want to go kill somebody. And Wolverine's like, welcome to my world, bub. I always like killing people. But he's really not a vindictive, evil person. But he's like, they really messed me up. Like, I want this reality so bad.
It was interesting to me.
What do I do? It's a pretty mind screw up for him.
I hadn't read this back then. I'm reading it now. It's kind of interesting to me, like how just bloodthirsty a lot of these characters are. I'm like, I don't remember everybody like being the, like everybody is like literally like tough as nails, ready to just straight flat out murder dudes.
Yeah. So they're like, we're going to find Magneto. We're going to kill him. And we know where he is. So let's fly there and find him and kill him. And they said they do the three teams and they're going after him. And then they're trying to find Charles Xavier too, because they can't find him. And that's the big thing. Like, he's nowhere to be found. And allegedly, oh, by the way, Joe, I was going to mention, I forgot. I put this in my notes. Really great nod to Cloak and Dagger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm sorry, Cloak.
Yeah.
Just great use of him and his power and his teleporting skills. Did you like the nods there? No, not enough to. Okay.
I'm a Cloak and Dagger purist. And it bugs me when people are just like, he's just shuttling around. Like, he's, you know,
he's like
because his cloak is darkness. And when he takes somebody in it, he is draining their life force. So in most of the comics, this is a punishment to villains. He sucks them into his cloak, and it's a punishment because when he releases them, they're on the verge of death because he sucked out most of their life force. And most times they come out shivering, like blue skin. You can see their breath. They're cold as death. And in fact, Dagger is the only one he can shuttle around because her life force is what sustains him. She has excess of the light. That's why they're Cloak and Dagger together. And now he's just like shuttling around. Everybody's like, oh, I guess the darkness that haunts me and powers me and fuels me to feed on the living, I guess, just... Hey, if you're a good guy, then that doesn't happen.
So I could see how you wouldn't like that, because that's not the power set that they describe in House of M.
They've used him that way a lot, though, and like, yeah, Civil War, same thing. He's just like, how do we get from here to there? Somebody
into my cloak.
Wasn't there a dude who could teleport? Oh yeah, cloak. Throw him in here.
Have some candy.
It's too much to have Nightcrawler teleport them all one at a time.
Right. We don't want to do a bunch of bam things.
It's like freaking mass transit cloak.
He was. So they, so sorry about the, sorry to bring that up, Joe. The pain history, jeez.
It's painful to this day. But they do it all the time. It bugs you every time.
They get to the House of M gala, and a big reveal with the three teams is, it actually wasn't Magneto. He had no idea this was happening. It was actually Quicksilver, or Pietro actually took her and whispered the thought of, wouldn't it be great if basically mutants ran the world in this great utopia? And so that was the reality she created. So she did it, but with their help. What you don't understand is, how did Charles Xavier get sucked into the whole thing? And they don't really talk about that in the comics.
When she recreated this reality, and she's getting woken up from it, she has recreated her children again.
Yes. In this reality, she's She Vision isn't there, which I think is odd, but she's just constantly in the room playing with her kids. And she has a projection of herself out in the world for people to see. And what's another interesting point, which to your point about surprises versus spoilers in the movie, is in the comics of House M, Doctor Strange is like, I can actually talk to her and calm her when I'm in my astral form. Right. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens in the movie, like when they're actually showing Doctor Strange, are they actually digitally making him look real? And is he really in the astral plane doing that? Like, that's kind of an interesting thought, like, which is my guess, but you never really know.
Right.
But it's like revealed in House of M, like he can kind of be a therapist to her if he goes to her on a different plane of existence. Like, that's how powerful she is. He goes to her in the astral
plane. Well, and you see it at the end of WandaVision, which is her physical form is like getting herself a cup of coffee, and her astral form is reading a book, is reading the Darkhold, right? So she can, they can both separate their physical body, except she's actually powerful enough at the end of WandaVision. Like, Doctor Strange, when he's in his astral form, he's got to kind of just be sitting there meditating. His body isn't doing anything. She's actually powerful enough that her astral form can be doing one thing while her physical body is doing another thing.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's in the WandaVision last end credits or whatever, but it also shows you how powerful she is. So he goes to Wanda, he's trying to get her to undo it. And while he's talking to her, of course, a battle ensues. And it's
good job, Scott. Cyclops, douchebag.
Good job, Cyclops, your thick neck. And they're attacking basically the reverse version of Sentinels, right? So the Sapien Sentinels.
Right.
And so there's a big battle going on. And then she realizes what she's done. And then she says three words, which change the fate of the Marvel Universe. Joe, do you want to
for the next decade?
And for the next decade,
no. What does she say? No more mutants.
So she says that, and it burns to white again.
Yep.
Another inappropriate image, burning to white.
and then that springboards into like the next decade of Marvel X-Men comics. No more mutants. There aren't. There's
200,000.
Other mutant is still there. They've just been depowered. So mutants have gone from this being on the verge of taking over humanity. They're always battling because it's 50-50 in the population and humans are always fighting. And she is now, she tried a world where mutants ran everything. And she's like, it's still fighting. No more mutants. And then it comes back to the reality everybody came from, except all the mutants are gone. Except they've all been depowered, except for 198 of them.
Right.
And that would then take Marvel through the next decade of X-Men comics to figure out how to undo that.
Yep. And then summary of the future after that is like some of the mutants get repowered, but then depowered, including Magneto. But that basically is a storyline that goes on for, like you said, 10 years, literally 10 years.
Yeah, we'll figure out the whole Hope Summers thing in a future
podcast. Yeah, we could do that. But I like the House of M summary there is alternate realities, Wanda's power set, Doctor Strange involvement. There's some WandaVision nods and probably some Multiverse of Madness nods in the threads there. But thank you, Joe. It's an 8-episode event. There's some tie-in event comics you can read, but it's 8 comics and I enjoyed them overall. What did you think?
I liked them a lot. I want to take a quick break real quick.
Other than Shroud.
Other than Cloak.
Or Cloak. Cloak
thing bothered me. The next bothered me. Let's just take a quick break. Again, give everybody a chance to refresh themselves. Listeners, you know, go powder your nose if you need to. Whatever makes you feel good. I'm going to have Jeff give you our comic book picks for the week. So Jeff can take it away there. And then when we come back, we will talk about how we think House of M may bleed in to Marvel Cinematic Universe in the future. And then we'll wrap and say goodbye. So we will be right back.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. You know the rules. We're not done until one of us can't get up. And now, it's time for the tremendous trio of treasures. 3 new comics that we recommend for all of our loyal listeners. First, Wrong Earth, Fame and Fortune, #1, from Ahoy Comics. A satirical one-shot from one of the Casual Comics crew's favorite writers, Mark Russell. On Earth Alpha, Dragonfly Man and his billionaire alter ego Richard Fame work to bring citizens together.
On Earth Omega, the Dragonfly busts heads and breaks unions with a savage intensity. But they both share one goal: build a new sports stadium with Richard Fame's name on it. Then, Sandman Universe, Nightmare Country number 1 from DC Comics. Every night when you sleep, the Lord of Dreams chooses the path you'll follow through your slumber. But today, the most feared of all Dreams' nightmares, the Corinthian, is loose in the waking world. Letting the Corinthian out among mortals is the most dangerous thing Dream could possibly do. But he has no choice, because there is another nightmare walking the earth, a monster that Dream, Lord of all nightmares, did not make. Finally, What If? Miles Morales, number 2, from Marvel Comics. Miles is the best there is at what he does. And in this reality, what he does isn't very nice. What if Miles was taken from everything he ever knew? His family, his home, his life, and transformed into the most dangerous, immortal weapon of war the world has ever seen? Miles has been made into the Wolverine. But that doesn't mean he has to be what they made him. And that's your Casual Comics Cast tremendous trio of treasures for this episode. Pick them up wherever fine comic books are sold today.
Thanks for those comic picks, Jeff. I'm so excited, especially for the new What If comic. What if Miles Morales was Wolverine? So Marvel's got some new What If goodness going on in the comics, but we are here to just finish talking about our multiverse, and we just gave you the lowdown on House of M. And so, you know, having looked at some of that and then reading House of M, Mark, you know, where do you think, like what concepts do you think this unlocks, and what do you think comes into the Marvel cinematic universe and future TV shows for watchers?
Yeah, I think I want to be surprised. I think it'd be great for them to really show how powerful Wanda has become. I mean, reading the Darkhold at the end of WandaVision, and then that House of M really amplifying the fact of how powerful her reality bending powers are, I think that's going to be the biggest tie-in. That's why you see Strange asking her for help. He's like, I need help to undo all this stuff.
Yeah, I think the biggest thread that I continue to see, especially since we read House of M, is Wanda's place, chaos magic. The reason she's reading the Darkhold at the end is she's trying to find her boys. And that's the whole thing with House of M. She's recreated another world for herself where her kids are there. Her kids are there. And so she's like the linchpin in this, in trying to find her kids. It's making a lot of this stuff happen. And if you look at House of M, where there's a universe where she said no more mutants, it would be easy, especially hearing Patrick Stewart in the trailer, to imagine that there's an alternate timeline maybe where that happened, or an alternate universe where that happened. And that's how they bring mutants into the Marvel universe, is through this multiverse exploration with Wanda, of that maybe that, because if they've already talked about in Spider-Man No Way Home, there's three different versions of Spider-Man from three different things that happened. So you could easily see a world where it's like a House of M or something like that, where there's a limited number of mutants, or somehow the Scarlet Witch's magic has now broken down this barrier where it's sort of like the opposite of no more mutants, is it's bringing the mutants in some way.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. We're going to have to figure out how they bring in mutants.
They can't just have Patrick Stewart's voice in the trailer and then not do something with it.
If that's just in the trailer, that will be disappointing.
They can't
do that.
I'll call Kevin Feige. I'll be like, there's chaos in you.
There's chaos in you. What are you doing? I think you're right, Joe. I think the other theory that I like, but I don't know if they're going to do it. I think you're right about her maybe helping bring in the X-Men mutants, is the mutants came around with all the Thanos snaps.
That could be.
Because if you think about it, there were 4 cosmic Infinity Gauntlet snaps. Like that's a lot of power that got released.
A lot of
4 snaps. Times. 4 that's times? True. I'm sorry. I must be tired. So I wonder if the snaps actually did it, but I think she might somehow introduce them. But what's also interesting is in all the What If episodes in the TV show, I don't think there's a single mutant reference. If I missed Jeff or Joe, correct me if I'm mistaken. I don't think there was at all, which I find interesting, maybe not so interesting, but
it, with the introduction of Wanda and Pietro, they specifically called them like specials or something like that. They specifically did not use the word mutants to describe.
Well, because legally they couldn't.
Right, but they'll figure that.
Did they mean for them to be mutants? Like, were there latent abilities in them? Like, they kind of allude to that a bit.
Because they had latent abilities that may have been enhanced through Wanda's contact and Pietro's contact with the Infinity Stone. Like, why was she able to survive it and no one else was? And same thing with Pietro. So I don't know. They could lever it there. I'm still trying to figure out how they wedge Fantastic Four in. At some point, you know, Kang was a classic Fantastic Four villain. And do they use this as, you know, the whole course of him pruning the multiverses to say, you know, hey, here's the Fantastic Four from another area of the multiverse that's been trying to fight their Kang for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then these multiverses start to cross, and then you can wind up in a, God, we should probably go back. I don't want to, but, the Secret Wars. So the Secret Wars we read that we really liked, 1984, and there's Secret Wars 2. Then there was Secret War, which was like a S.H.I.E.L.D.-centric thing of Nick Fury was carrying on some secret war. But then there was a recent Secret Wars where they actually did take all of the different Marvel multiverses. And it was almost like the where the Beyonder had created a battle world. It's almost like this multiversal battle world where there's some cosmic being that stitches together a planet out of all the different. So like that's where Marvel has now brought Miles Morales into the main continuity. Mm-hmm. And they brought Old Man Logan, which is another multiverse, which is where all the mutants were wiped out except Logan. And now Logan's an old man who, you know, isn't fighting anymore. Marvel used that Secret Wars series where there's a cosmic entity that brought all the multiverses together onto a battle world to then bring Miles Morales into Earth 616. Because then they all had this thing. Then the gate closed somehow. I haven't read the series yet. And then now this is the new universe and it contains these characters that didn't before. I can see them going somewhere with this, with the multiverse fracturing, them having to come together in some way. And then those people who came in from alternate timelines are now in this timeline permanently.
That would be a much more plausible way to bring the mutants back in. I still like the snap theory of it unlocked like the hidden mutant gene into people and it kind of manifested over time, but who knows? Cause it, and the reason I don't know, maybe it was the second or third or fourth snap, I guess is what I'm saying. Because the first snap happened and then 5 years took place.
Right.
So why wouldn't there be mutants in 5 years? So maybe it was like the last snap, the Tony Stark snap.
Stop with the snaps.
Get
to the part where you pee. Well, this was a cool recap, Mark. I hope that everybody learned a little something. I hope everybody's entertained maybe and got as much of a laugh as I did. But I really enjoyed rereading House of M. That was a really cool series. Well, I never read it before. I kind of skimmed it. I kind of knew about it. Other than the cloak thing, which is under my skin. We'll go back and read some Cloak and Dagger. But thanks for
reading Dagger Therapy.
Between that and WandaVision, I'm like hung up in comic books published in 1988.
That's okay. It's not a bad thing.
It's a very specific time period of comics from when I liked buying comics, but I only had enough money to buy a few and had to read them like 100 times over and over because I couldn't buy more.
That's right.
All right, Mark. Well, thanks for joining me today. Thanks for recapping. We will be back soon, folks. You know, we got Moon Knight on the horizon. We got probably more stuff to discuss before Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, including a recap of the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
So we
love the Illuminati.
Love the Illuminati. And then we'll also do some Secret Invasion at some point. What's your vote, Mark, for the next big event? Because Secret Invasion's coming to the MCU, right?
I think they canceled it or postponed it.
All right. They did not. No, they're filming it now.
No, I think they did.
Secret Invasion. No, they didn't cancel it. Scrolls. All right. We'll look it up. We'll figure it out later. But thanks for joining us, everybody. We will catch you next time on the Casual Comics Cast. And cheers, Mark.
Thanks, Joe.
And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter, @CasualComicsGuy, at our blog, CasualComicsGuy.com, or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.